You know, many times in church leadership, we often know the kind of prayers when they ask you, what do you pray for a new convert? You say, well, the eyes of his understanding being enlightened. And we pray that the Lord in our services, Colossians 1, 9 to 11, Ephesians 1, 16 to 23, Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, we pray that for new converts. Philippians 1, 9 to 11, we pray those prayers. But have you bothered to ask, what do you pray for someone who is a leader? What do you think is your greatest need? What do I, what do I think is my greatest need in ministry? I told you something. What I did as a younger minister. I'm saying it now. It is now blessing you. Why? When it was happening to me then, it wasn't looking like a blessing. Because oftentimes the things that will become a blessing to others might first look like a curse. Because if you are not strong, you cannot build strong men. If you are not deep, you cannot build deep people. You can only build people with depth when you have it yourself. So I told you before, when it comes to ministry, experience counts. So what do you think is the greatest asset? What do you think are the greatest assets of a man who is overseeing you? Let me say something to you. Stop writing, look here. Human beings, you and I, are the most complicated people to deal with. God Himself says so. God said so. And you are dealing with the same people. You yourself, you are a human being. Because you yourself, you are complicated. Sometimes people get married and they say, they want to. I know I've been a long courtship or short courtship. But both long courtship and short courtship, they are both courtship. The long thing is the wedding, marriage. No matter how long the courtship is, when they get married, they will not start knowing who is who. And also, the person you are trying to know has not even known himself. There are some things that you yourself discovered about yourself later. Do you get it? That you did not know. I used to think I was a very, very, very... My dad once told me something about myself. I said, no. Me a preacher. But as I grew up, I knew that. I think he was alright. He had observed me. For a while. So I said, this man was correct. And I didn't even know what he said was correct till I was married with two children. So imagine me. I'm knowing me. I now am put over people that probably are also knowing them. So don't think your work is one easy, happy go lucky one. No, it's not though. God who made man said the heart of man is above all things. Of course, the unbelieving man. But we know that believers many times, amen. He said, who can know it? So you are handling human beings with their different complications, complexities. Some, it will just develop after a while. After leaving school. After losing their job. After getting a new job. After rising high in their career, after getting married, after having children, different things will come up. And God has sent you to shepherd the sheep. Because you cannot pastor the same kind of persons. They are going to be different. Even if you have twins with the same DNA, they are going to be different. Or from the same DNA, they are going to be different. So what do you think is, and I say it to your pastor, thank God when we put data, 20 people came, 40 people said, come, I said, who are the people? That's why I warned them, don't ever tell me about 14. There's no human being that is about, mention the number. Who? Who is the person? So, you have 20 people under you, they're not the same. They can pray the same way. They can even be hearing the same things. Many times their level of growth will differ. With the complications in their personality that they are still growing out of the world with. Even you that are leaders. Some of you are still on different levels of growth. I can see. The things I would love to say to you today are postponed in 2 years. So now ask yourself, what is that important thing you need? If you get this one, about when I was preparing this earlier in the morning before the church service, Lord said to tell you, pray this every day. That's what I'm going to talk about. Every day. Why? Because you lead every day. Did you hear what I'm saying? So, what is my greatest? Because you must know what you need. I like how those just says it. That somebody goes to church, they teach him how to not tie. It's nice. How to buckle his shoe. It's good. But is that what he needs? That's not what he needs. Someone is sick. He's shivering. You say, ah, come and watch football. Ah. Say, it's very entertaining. It'll make you relax. He will just die there. What do I need? Now, I know the first thing that will come on top of your head is, oh, doctrine. You are right. Because if you don't know doctrine, you can't be a leader. A bishop must be apt to teach. 1 Timothy 3:2. Titus 1:9. Able to teach. Yes. But you don't pray, God, give me doctrine. You go and study that one. What is it that is your number one need or needs in ministry? Again, we'll go back to the book of Kings. There was a man by the name of Solomon who was the son of David that we just read about a couple of minutes ago. And when he became king, don't forget we are talking about, we have said that the king is a servant. Hope you can remember that. Okay. In 2 Kings chapter 3, you know this story very well. 1 Kings chapter 3. Verse 3. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed burnt incense in high places, walking in the statutes of David his father. Then verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Ask what I shall give thee. Imagine if that question is posed to you. Oh, we need a venue. Oh, we need media equipment. Oh, we need this one. Solomon said, notice what he says in verse 6. I want you to observe this very well. Thou hast shown unto thy servant David my father. Notice again, he calls him servant. Great mercy. According as he walked before thee in truth, in righteousness, uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is today. Did you see where his focus was? David was a man that made multiple errors. Immorality, where he took Bathsheba, wife of Uriah, he killed the husband, who interestingly is his mother. He didn't just kill the husband, he conspired. That means he taught someone how to murder another person. He mishandled Absalom. Weak. Had different challenges in his kingdom. But notice what Solomon focused on. Always know what you are focusing on. What you see is what you get. He didn't make a singular reference to the mistakes of David. And no other prophet. Jesus did not. Paul did not. No apostles. He focused on that. And notice what he got. He simply just said, my father lived in uprightness. He served in righteousness. And he showed him mercy. You know, we're in an age where everybody is big. In fact, they call it the cancel culture. They're looking for somebody to take on. Virtually every day on Twitter, there's somebody they are chewing on. A generation that will feast on itself and destroy itself. Because where you have persons, you don't have persons that cannot be touched, then you have a people that cannot be kept. You must be careful not to have that cancel culture in your mind. Who is he? What's the big deal about him? Now notice what he asked. He said, oh now Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. I am but a little child. Remember what Samuel said to Saul, when you were chosen, were you not small in your eyes? I am but a little child. I've told you before. Always maintain that childlike innocence attitude. You need it for the rest of your life. If you can't pray the way you prayed 20 years ago, humble, innocent, if you can't receive God's word that same way, if you can't be taking notes the way you did 20 years ago, 15 years, now you are taking notes like a theologian. It's trouble. He says, I don't know how to go out or come in. Servant is in the midst of thy people, which you have chosen. A great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Now notice what he asked for. The first thing is the right attitude. What kind of attitude do you have in mind? Do you think you know everything? You think you have everything figured out? Or are you a child? At each point in time, Lord, I don't know what I'm not skilled, even though you are skilled. I don't know how to go in or come out, even though you do. You are simply saying, I'm not the master of this thing. I'm only being led by your spirit. See what he said here? So the first thing you require is an attitude. A right attitude. People will call you names. Look up. Let me tell you something. Look up, please. I've said it to you many times. See, I grew up as a youth into me. I'm still a young man. People will give you a sir. You know what a sir is? Will psych you up. You cannot stop them. You cannot stop them. But you can stop you. There's nothing you can do. People will hail you. They will call you things. And some people, let me tell some people, they will use you for spite value. The reason why some people praise me is to spite somebody else. The purpose will be heaping up praise. Rabbi. And what? In fact, I've never seen Christ like this. They just want someone else to read and feel bad. I know. Some people, the way they praise their husband is to spite their ex. They say, ah, Yudis, my lovely husband. Sizu money. I really love you. You know, ever since I met you, they are sending a message to their ex. So the guy should not be fooled. Or they are talking to one of their classmates who thinks he has a better husband. Either way, everybody knows what was on their heart. So when people are praising you, Brother Hagin told us, say the praises of men like God. Chew it, but don't swallow it. So know this one very well. Nobody ever told me some years ago. He said, if there's anywhere you will know who you are, when you are in the bathroom, you really know whether you are as great as they call you. No, that didn't make sense. So I kept, so in the bathroom now I think, you are just a piece of clay. Remind yourself of that. People are going to call you names. You are this one. They started calling me Baba, 27 years ago. Baba! That's what somebody calling me. Baba! 27 years ago! Say, Baba, imagine my size. Have you seen my old pictures before? You will know it's me. And he said, Baba! Power. One of my seniors, he bowed down and he said, my father! Amen. So, me, I'm the one telling you. Some, they are hailing you because they want to marry you. Oh, let me leave that for another day. That helps me as a young man. The moment you pick somebody else, that's when you know that. I was talking about that one day. I have many things to say. You cannot even bear it. So you have to give yourself break. So everybody with this way saying, hey, Baba! They want to preach. See, as a teenager, I was organizing crusade for camp. You know what that is? We did crusade before the crusade. I was praying youth advice in our little area. So I was praying with bodies. I said, Lord! As I speak to them, they didn't put me on the program. I put myself there. I said, use my mouth to minister to these people. So I fasted. You know that kind of fasting that when you are going, you are very light. You know that you are carrying the power of God. Holy Trinity. What's that place again now? Where you leave a barracks. Who knows you go to here? That where you have the cinema there. Before you get to a town. That Holy Trinity Church was where we had the meeting. There the primary school. Sharif! You know there used to be a cinema. Do you know that cinema? I was praying in tongues. I went to the, you know, Holy Trinity has one, I don't know whether I say like that. If I was the other compound, they built a shopping complex there. That Chris Lamar came there and turned the human being into a bed. You were not born there. So, as I got there, I was praying, oh Lord! As I got there, I sat down. I was the youngest. I was praying. We were just talking about money. This one, we said. So they said, AOB. I raised my hand. I said, praise the Lord. I was on AOB after praying. I said, Lord, I said, there's a burden for souls. I was sharing what I read from Riabonki. I poured it on there and said, oh, praise God. So they saw somebody else. So, young evangelist. Help us distribute that thing. What do you call it? Egg roll. Crush. 7-Up. So all the burden I had. I know to me want to organize a crusade. I don't want to mention the man's name. Organize a crusade. Use barracks. And I mobilized. And I can walk. I walked. I entered every church in Ikorodu. There was a time I did evangelism. I entered every house in Ikorodu. Every house. There is no house I've not entered to do evangelism. Including Ile Oshogbo. Oh yes. So, as I organized the crusade, I didn't know the man that brought the crusade wanted to start church. He didn't tell us. I didn't know how people do when they want to start church. I didn't know. I just said, We ought to take the land. Take the land. I will gather the workers. You will gather them behind and be offering them position in his new church. I don't know. I just noticed that the prayer meeting just changed. The passion had changed to the Lenke prayer. Hallelujah, glory. Before we pray, we're sweating. Now, thank you, Jesus. We were thanking God for position. So we did the crusade. It was a Friday evening we ended. We were supposed to be the minister's conference the next day. The man just said, there's no more minister's conference. I didn't know what was going on. As we were collecting offering, I didn't even ask. You know, I was naive. I didn't ask questions about offering. But those people that knew about offering were asking questions. You know, we are what men? We covered the earth. By the Sunday, the man started church. All our leaders in departments were in that church. I did not even know they had started. It was Bob Philip that told me that. Did you hear? He said, I was just thinking that by the next day, follow up. Follow up, okay. That they are now saying that you and that man, you planned the crusade. Because they say, what people paying these people was that he did not share the offering with them. I said, offering. Oh, I said there was offering. So who collected the offering? You don't even know. I didn't know. So I will be in meeting and we say, there's a thirst for the nations. We said that in the meeting. He will now gather his own nation. Do you understand? People are doing that. So I'm used to all those things. Don't allow people to talk you out of God's plan for your life. They will psych you. They will call. Oh! Jesus mentioned your name to me. I've heard that one over the years. He showed me your picture. Your picture. Your picture. I saw you! And that's how you see him too. Solomon said, I am but a child. Raise your two hands, say, I'm but a child. Pray, 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 I'm but a child. I am but a child. I am but a child. I don't claim mastery. I don't claim expertise. I am but a child. I am but a child. I don't run ahead of myself. Hallelujah. Look at his prayer. Verse 9. Look at verse 8 first. He treasured the people. See, I treasure the people. He treasured the people. You treasure the people. You speak. These are not people that are good people, though. But he used the eye of God to talk about them. What about saying that you have a wonderful flock? You have a glorious flock. You have people, Brother Higgins, you say, we should talk about those with pastors. He said, I see you rise up into our spiritual stalwarts. I heard that from his mouth. I see you rise up as spiritual stalwarts. I see you as men and women of God. Every day when you are talking to them, say, man of God. You know what you are doing? You are speaking the things that be not as though they were. You are calling them what God calls them. So Solomon treasured. Now let's look at what he asked for. Verse 9. Give therefore thy servants an understanding heart to judge thy people. Hallelujah. That I may discern between good and bad. Who is able to judge this thy so great a people? He asks for a wise, understanding heart. The greatest asset a leader needs and it requires is the wisdom of God. Wisdom that doesn't come by observation, even though it will include observation, is the wisdom that comes from God. To handle people in their complexities, with your limited knowledge, it will require wisdom from God. And that wisdom, you will need it every day of your life. Did you hear what I'm saying? Wisdom. Wisdom. Oh, we're just 5. Wisdom. We're just 20. Wisdom.
Now look at what the Lord said. Because you have not asked for thyself long life or riches for thyself, for the life of your enemies, except what you have asked for wisdom. You know why? A leader cannot be selfish. Whatever you require for ministry must be about those under your care. Your prayer life must be invested in praying about those under your care. So don't be bothered. When some people are accusing you, you don't even know how to pray for yourself anymore. You don't matter. Well, it is my destiny in life that tells me what my choices are. So watch this. Let's look at the first thing that he faced. And I want us to look at this very, very instructively. After he prayed that prayer, there was now the story of two women. Let's just quickly summarize it. Who had a tussle over who was the mother of the child? And they brought it to him. Now watch this. One said, "This is my son that lives. Thy son is dead," verse 23. The other said, "No. Thy son is the dead. My son is the living." Solomon said, "Give me a sword." And they brought his sword. And he said, "Divide the child into two. And give half to the one and half to the other." How you will know? This is not the moment. It's just simple. People who have a shepherd heart are never destructive. They are not. When somebody has a genuine call of God upon his life, even where he's cheated, right? Where people are not appreciating him, he wouldn't want the thing to die. Are you following what I'm saying? But where you see a charlatan, the moment things don't go his way, let everything just destroy. So learn from it. Those who are called to shepherd never destroy. Solomon knew. If this sheep belong to you, if this belong to God, and you are the under shepherd, you won't want it to perish. He said, "Divide it." The woman who the living child was said to the king, "For her bowels yearn upon her son. Oh my Lord, give her the living child in no wise faith." But the other said, "Let it neither be mine nor thine. Or destroy it." Destructive spirits never, never, ever lead God's people right. Oh, that is, I don't care. I don't care. So I will now be without a child. So I will now, no, let the whole thing crash. Let me say this. We don't like it. Some people will leave Nigeria as soon as they get abroad. They will be wishing everything evil in Nigeria. Everything evil. Oh, everything is so bad. They will say, so, we cannot even walk on the street again. I say, what country are you talking about? We can't go anywhere again. Woo! Let the whole country just scatter. Let everything. You know why? Since they are no longer here, it will not be good to see the place they left prosper. So their wishes is let everything crash. So that their reasons for living will be justified. It will come to pass. We are here. We are here. It will come to pass. You do well where you are, we'll do well here too. I told you, I said, I know this moving forward. There are two boys I saw, one from his NYSC. In January, February, they got $18 million grant. Another 5 million. Sit there. You say it's nowhere. Dangote is doing his second refinery. He and his brother are fighting over who will start the refinery. You say it's nowhere. It's nowhere, and they are building largest, biggest for who? Those who are programming you to be negative know what they are doing. It's the frustration. But this land is green. I know that at the back of my heart.
I told him, I said, when you go and come back, you meet us here. We do here. Because many don't know the importance of relocating. When you relocate, everything about your life will change. It will determine everything about you. Who you will marry, how you raise your kids. Even if you are married already, the condition of your marriage. Ministry. Your doctrinal convictions can change. Your thinking pattern. So look before you leave. Before you board the flight. Look at it. So you see them sending, oh, let everything scatter. Why should it scatter? One said, the reason why you love Nigeria is because you are eating from the government. I said, you are a fool. He said, the reason why you are supporting this particular politician is because he's giving you money. I said, your values are monetized. This man, I've never met him before. And I don't want to meet him. I've had a project. He said, if you know me very well, I will follow somebody with not a single benefit. So you are the one that has your values monetized. So when you see people destructive, you want to leave the church. You said you have labored there, Abby. You have won souls. And somehow something happened. If you truly serve God there, you will not want anything bad to happen to that ministry. But when you are destructive, you want to leave the church. There are people that left this church years ago. They are still carrying the bitterness all over the place. This ministry was founded by God. Nobody has succeeded fighting us before. In fact, there was a time where people said, don't let's fight that ministry. We know what happened to us when we fought them. You know the story. You know the people. You know what I'm talking about. They said, don't let us fight that church. When last time we fought them, we know what happened. Why are you fighting them for what? If you ask them, why are you fighting? They say, hey, they think they know everything. They think they are you crazy? If you think we know everything, you know everything. So that we do that thing, we don't know anything. Don't be silly. So don't be for things to be destroyed. How you left somebody or somebody said he's not marrying you again. They begin to wish bad. Nothing will happen. The person will move on. You move on too. He's not marrying you again. Simple! At least you are joined to the Lord. And your one spirit. You not be wishing evil. Wishing evil. It won't happen. But after all, you know, he said we did introduction, we move on engagement. It's like God. Nothing will happen. Move on. It's a choice. No true heart that comes from God wishes someone destruction. Why? You can succeed without someone else failing. Do you hear me? The church that's not preaching the word that we want it, they will also go. There should be their winning souls. They will grow in their millions. You too, you grow in your millions. I mean, if all of us, one church, non-one church, you know, as long as they are winning souls, if we are all growing, the whole earth will be filled. Is that clear? I wish no ministry evil. I wish no ministry lose members. I don't have those kind of things in my head. At all. I tell myself that nobody is going to lose members. There are people on this street that are not born again. I have no destructive spirit. At all. Nothing like that. I wish you well. Wish your ministry well. I don't wish you anything wrong. I will never forget what Prophet Obadiah told me in 1998. I said it personally. We're talking about something else. He said, that's the most important thing he ever told me. I said, don't think he would have anybody. It's 23 years ago. I've kept it. I don't have anything against you. I took it to heart. Don't wish anybody. Oh, they didn't do this one. You had this one. Business. The guys renewed you. I tell people, even when people do wrong, it's not on my account that they will reap it. On my own account, they will be blessed. Amen? Yeah. See, I don't have a destructive spirit. That's by the way. So, find Solomon able to solve difficult issues. Imagine you are now over people who have such a spirit. Yet God gave him the wisdom. You have to pray. Such wisdom. That is why, notice, when Moses laid hands on Joshua, what came? The spirit of wisdom. Wisdom. When he told him to meditate upon the word, he
said that thou will deal wisely with the affairs of this life. Joshua 1:8. So wisdom, by prayer, by laying on of hands, when your pastor lays hands on you, even though he's pastoring 10,000, 20,000, 50,000, you are pastoring 300. But that wisdom with which he's pastoring you and others will begin to function in your life too. Did you hear what I'm saying? Wisdom. Insight. Wisdom sometimes will mean that you will have an experience that is not your own and you will use it. Wisdom means maturity. You act mature. Are you following this? It's a preacher, wisdom. Wisdom over the flock, over different situations. To say the right thing at the right time. In Luke 21, Jesus said, he prayed the same prayer for the apostles. Luke 21. And verse 15. I will give you a mouth and a wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to gainsay or resist. I want you to pray right now. Just for 2-3 minutes. A mouth and a wisdom. In the ministry committed to me, a mouth, that's utterance, wisdom, a mouth and a wisdom. I won't act foolishly. I won't destroy the works of my hands. I won't talk stupidly. I will handle complex situations well. That everything I'm being taught will become effective in the lives of people. Hallelujah. Sit down. Notice that Paul prayed the same prayer. Look at Colossians 4:3. Paul says, with all praying also for us, that God will open unto us the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. Look at verse 4. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. As I ought to speak. Paul is saying, pray for me that I have a mouth. As I ought to speak. Look at the next statement. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without living the time. So I'll be able to walk in wisdom. In Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. I may open my mouth boldly, verse 19, to make known the mystery of the gospel. 20. I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's wisdom. As I ought to speak. To be able to, I said, knowledge is relevant facts. Right? Understanding is contextualized facts. Wisdom is proper application of those contextualized facts. Knowledge, facts, or relevant facts. Understanding, contextualized facts. How to now put in context the facts that you have. Then to apply it properly at the right time to the right people is the wisdom of God. The three are critical ingredients of leadership. And I'm going to tell you again, every day, because ministry for you is every day, right? Even when you are not talking to anybody yet, even when you are not preaching on the pulpit, is every day. Wisdom. 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 People are going to call you impromptu. Ah, Brother Ayo, what should I do? Wisdom, right? You are going to find something out. What do you do? Wisdom. You are teaching someone. You are already thinking you are going to teach around this. And then, wisdom. Wisdom even in how to teach God's word. Wisdom how to handle people's complexities. Wisdom. Second, I'll talk about, then we close. Boldness. Someone say boldness. Boldness is another important asset.
I'll give you a mouth and a wisdom. You won't be resisted. Boldness is seen throughout the book of Acts. To speak courageously. To handle issues boldly. I put something out on Facebook. Let me look for it. It was on leadership. Okay, just put this down. Boldness means that you are courageous about your vision and you are courageous about the implementation. You are courageous about it. About the vision and also the implementation. Okay, I was going to read this. Put this down. In any given moment, we always have two options. To step forward into growth, pastors, hear this, or to step back into your comfort zone. In every given moment, there is that action that you require to take as a pastor, as a leader. And many times it looks like there's another option of the comfort zone. I pray for you that may you not take the comfort zone option. Leaders are known by taking bold action, bold visions, bold action. We are going this way. This is what we are going to accomplish. Years ago, someone told me that in the church, the pastor in the Bible, he said, it appears like you are the only one that knows where we are going. I said, that's where I'm the leader. He said, but wherever we are going, we are going to be very fine. When he came to see me, he was the last member of the church that was leaving. I said, we are going somewhere. And we are going to be very fine. He's my friend, today we talk. But that day he came for another purpose. I sat down. I said, we are going to be fine. Don't worry. He said, but all the PCM leaders have left. I said, I know. You know, I left. I said, I know. He said, but don't worry. Well, can I just tell you what the problem is? There's no problem. Go. I said, years to come, we'll talk about it. He came for one of our companies. He said, if I don't know anybody here from God, I know you do. Because I know what you pass through. You need boldness to confront things. Boldness. You pray for it. Is that very clear? Boldness. Boldness to confront issues. Boldness to deal with the enemy. You require boldness. To deal with opposing forces. Like we shared the last time, we said ministry is war. Hope you have not forgotten. Hope you have not forgotten that one. It's war. It's boldness. That is why I always say, a man with a will to fight will defeat a man who has every weapon to win a war or has no will to fight. The willingness to stay on itself is victory. Leader must be bold. Take decisive action. One of the assets that David had was Joab. In 2 Samuel 19. You know, David was sentimental at some point about Absalom. Remember Absalom? He's my son. He's this one. So in 2 Samuel, let me just show you something very quickly. Absalom obviously wanted to kill David. Obviously. His intention was to kill David. But the sentimental attitude of David almost wrecked him and his kingdom. So someone rightly said, to every minister at some point, hear me, you will face betrayal. The first time, you are a victim. The second time, you are a volunteer. Because the first one should have taught you a lesson. First time you're a victim. I didn't know. But the second time, no. You should have seen it. So when Joab, David said to Joab, say, spare that boy. You know I love him. You know he's my son. Say, for my sake, deal gently with the young man Absalom. At one point, he was ordering the armies to fight. At another point, he wasn't taking a bold decision. It's my son. What will I do? He said, baby, calm down. This is the person leading the rebellion. He was sabotaging his own efforts. When you can look away and you see betrayal and disloyalty, you are being a stupid leader. You can spare everything in ministry, but not strife and disloyalty. No, don't spare it. It will come. See, strife is a motive. I didn't know when I was young. This one will destroy everybody. And they won't even know what they are doing. It's when everything, but lives have been destroyed. When they are doing backroom talk, they don't know. They think it's just gist. When they are sending texts, they think it's just gist. We're just blowing our mind. It's when things are destroyed that they say, we didn't know. You didn't know, and things are gone. So when David was being sentimental, he said, you know, take care of the boy, you know, let's just understand him a little bit and all that. He was being foolish. When you're in leadership, you have to be very decisive. N-O. One of the things I was taught as a younger minister, learn to say no without feeling sorry. No. Sometimes, look at me, pastor. The no is not even because you have weighed the good or bad of what you are saying. You just want to say no. If you cannot take my no, you can't serve with me. The moment things don't go your way, you are uncomfortable, you are not meant to be here. No! That's all. And here is David. In weak leadership. Oh, he said, let's leave Absalom. I know he's very innocent. David was foolish. A young man. But a young man that wanted to destroy the whole ministry. A young man. There are some people, listen to me. Forgive them. Right? Walk in love. But keep them far away. You hear what I'm saying? Keep them far away. Because they are destructive. Until they are swept clean of their destructive tendencies. Look at what Joab, 2 Samuel 19 verse 1. I want you to read the import of what he says here. I love something that Joab did. He ensured that Absalom, they said he committed suicide. He said, go and look for him. Why did you not smite him? He made sure there was no more. Of course, we don't walk in the spirit of what he's walking in. But look at the principle of what he did. A destructive spirit must be removed. Because, see, it will not destroy itself. Deserve other people. Watch this. 2 Samuel 19. When it was told Joab that the king was weeping and mourning for Absalom, some of us can be very sentimental. The victory that day was turned to mourning to all the people. So, David made people feel bad that a destructive, disloyal element was taken away. Then he covered his face and said, oh my son, Absalom, oh my son, Absalom. Then look at what Joab told. Look at verse 5. Joab said, thou ashamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which today saved thy life, and the lives of thy sons, thy daughters, the lives of your wives, and the lives of your concubines, in that thou lovest your enemies and hate your friends. May this attitude not be found in your life in Jesus' name. A sentimental attitude. Such that people that are loyal now feel bad. Why did we save him? Why? You know he was the one. After Absalom killed his brother, he brought him back. Joab said, why have you shamed all of us? All of us that put our neck on the line for you. Why? He was sentimental. When you are sentimental, you're never bold. You're never bold. There are things you must deal with decisively. A leader must learn to take courageous actions. Let me read this quote. Leadership is a call to courage. Live a courageous life that someone else will take notes on. Without courage, notice, vision, purpose, calling, and destiny will be crippled. Courage is to take heart and face your fears. Courage makes you push beyond the norm and takes risks. Stop playing it safe. It's the difference between caution and fear. Fear looks for the easy way out. Set scary standards. Dare. Trust God for great things. Lead well. Fear less. If you are not taking any risks, you are not leading anyone, and there's no need for faith. Learn to be courageous. There are instances you will learn to deal with issues. Stay away. No. I'm sorry. It won't work that way. Because the buck stops on your table. The moment you see a divisive fellow in yourself, deal with it now. Don't wait. You now be crying a quick very afterwards. Don't say, but this guy, he did it. No! You do not pamper bushfire. You kill it. Leadership, you need boldness. Boldness is required to champion the righteous cause. You must be bold. You must be bold against destructive spirits. You must be bold and courageous to take large steps. Where are you going in your church? Dream big. We are reaching 10,000 this year. We are reaching 5,000 this year. We are going to win more drug addicts. It looks like it's a strange thing. Take bold steps. Boldness and courage makes you deal with destructive spirits. It also makes you wear a positive, listen to me, a positive and productive spirit. We are going forward. We are going to do this. We need churches in that place to plant it. We need men there. We are going to do this. That's why Paul said that we may make the gospel known by boldness. Two things. Wisdom and boldness. You must not be lacking in your leadership. Wisdom to handle complex situations. Complex people. Courage, boldness to confront difficult situations. Difficult men. To remove destructive spirits. Courage. Are you following what I'm saying? I told the pastor this a couple of months ago. I said, this man, mark my words, you will bring an end to that ministry. Say, sir, this is, I said, you are very sentimental. You see, you will regret what you are doing. He called me like 3 weeks ago now, as a, before camp meeting. He said, sir, I said, I told, did I not tell you? I said, I called. When did you start ministry? When did you start? Yeah, I'm telling you something. You have prayed about it. I told you something. This fellow put you in trouble. And that's what happened. They are now struggling. The church of two services. They are barely having one. I want you. You are sentiment. You confront it. There are some people who say, don't come here again. Ah, but I love God. Go and love Him as well. Praise the Lord. I told you the first time
you are a victim. Second time, you are a collaborator. And no one should follow anyone who cannot be bold. Who's following you? Any little thing you're checking out. Why? Take both steps. We are going this direction. You want to flood the whole earth with the word of God and you act like a chicken. How are you going to do it? You think ministry is a state party? You think Satan will sit down and be looking at you? You think you want these people around you? If Satan could go, someone said this 2 days ago, an elderly minister, he said, Satan is so greedy. If God Judas still wanted Peter. He went for one of the 12, said, ah, let people go to the inner purpose. What's the big deal? He now went after number 2 man. But Peter was number 2. Peter. Satan is there to sit like this. I prayed for you. When you prayed not faith, when you are conversing in the prayer. So, there is no time Satan will give you a holiday. There is no time to stop praying for boldness. Do you hear me? Boldness for every face. Boldness for every cause. Boldness. Because there are moments you want to chicken out. Moments. Because we have seen it before. He chased us from your house, remember? And I ran to the staircase. And we had the meeting again at one second, which was one hotel near station. At the Google Community Hall. They sent boys to come and chase us with broken bottle. We left. We went to meet opposite near the public toilet. Are you following what I'm saying? In last week, they chased. I was preaching, they removed the security. We moved elsewhere and we did the meeting. Are we? That's wisdom from experience. Satan just wants you to stop. But shame the devil. Are you following what I'm saying? Shame the devil. You must know how to handle expectations when you don't when they are not met. Are you following what I'm saying? You went for a contract. You are looking to make 100 million. You now lost the whole 100 million. You lost your... I begin to feel bad. Satan knows what he's doing. He controls people in this world. He does. You think people that are doing business, they are led by the Spirit of God? No. But in spite and despite, you steady your course. Are you following what I'm saying? Oh, bring another one. I'll get on that pulpit and I'll rejoice. And I'll preach. And I'll heal the sick. And I'll turn you crazy. That's the only person you are supposed to say things like that to. Wicked person. But we are bigger. So you have to be bold. Boldness to confront devils. When they come in form of associates, confront it. When they come in front of members, confront it. Demons don't just show up only and people say, ah, no, sometimes they come in good speech. Arguments. I don't believe in it. Get out of here. Walk out. Wait. And I will reply, we'll be fine. We will be fine. A man sent me a message after camp meeting. He said, I'm so grateful for what God is doing in my life. I mentioned his name to you before. I remember in 1999. Is it 9 or 8? He said, I'm only pitying you. I said, why? He said, who is going to hear you? Eleyele was what he told me. I said, the world will hear me. I smiled. The one I called to preach for us, who went to another meeting, I said, you see, these people, I'm not for them all. See me on their poster. He was supposed to be in our meeting. Went somewhere else, and he went to the next meeting. He called me and said, I can't preach for you again. They are all saying you are an heretic. They said this. I said, what have I done? He said, I know you are a good person. I'm just wondering, why is everybody against you? How many people do you know is everybody? So he said, can I send so and so person to come and preach instead of me? Because he said, my wife, she's pregnant, she can't even allow me to sleep, and I don't want her to have trouble. He was giving all of the emotional sentiment. I looked at his hand, he still had my invitation letter. I said, okay, sir. I said, thank you very much, sir. He said, who will not preach?
We'll be fine. And we've been saying that we'll be fine for years. We'll be fine, sir.
So I was going. I knew the dirty truth to my heart. An older minister
So I began to walk. I walked from Oluyole. I walked to Ujuri, Bodija. I was praying. I said, I see the vision before me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, millions, thousands will hear the gospel. I was called by God, and no one will discourage me. And I began to pray. I got to this site at Iyagoku. I turned back again, went back to Ring Road. I began to walk for hours. For hours. And when I got to church, my old guy, I said, you know what? This man is not coming. But we're going to have our camp meeting, and we're going to have many more in tens and tens and tens of years. They didn't know what I was saying. Some of them didn't even believe it. They said, because all the people that were there, when I said so, it was only Pastor Ola that I said around. Are you following what I'm saying? That's boldness. Confront it. Stand in your fellowship center. Say, in the name of Jesus, it's from here to the outermost part of the earth. In the name of Jesus, we are bringing men here, men and women of God. Confront it. How? By boldness. Two things as we close. Wisdom and boldness. In ministry and leadership, critical efforts. You will lead them every time. I pray for wisdom every day. I pray for boldness all the time. We all get afraid. We all get discouraged. But when the Spirit of God, like a garrison of soldiers in a turbulent country, overwhelms us, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Holy Ghost will stand against it. Then you find yourself, after praying, you now begin to speak words of courage. We are taking the land. We are taking the land. We are winning souls. We are healing the sick. We are raising the dead. We are raising men and women for the gospel. Stand to your feet, let us pray. Wisdom and boldness. Don't join all these cosmetic ministers on social media. Many of them, they cannot even confront Kikegu demons. They don't know anything. Begin to pray now. Wisdom. Don't forget I said every day. Wisdom and boldness. Wisdom and boldness. What is it that you see in your spirit? It will come to pass.